Good day, New Orleans. We're glad you're here to join us on a 15-minute in-depth look at Latino immigration in our city.
Over the next 15 minutes, we are going to take you on a trip that covers the economic landscape facing Latino immigrants in New Orleans. This will include discussions with Latino immigrants about their economic activities and also economic realities facing them in the current U.S. economy.
These activities are vast, as we will soon learn, ranging from your everyday mundane maintenance tasks to intricate work being carried out by some legal immigrants. Beyond that, we are also going to look at the reasons behind their immigration and also their current living situations.
Exactly. In more detail, these are the push and pull factors. What pushed them out of their home country, and what drew them here, and what made them come to New Orleans specifically, and how their stay here has been.
Finally, we will tackle the issue of transnational activities of these immigrants, both legal and illegal. This segment will contain an intricate study of how much money these immigrants send home, how often they go home, contact home, or how much money they do spend when they go back home.
What he is trying to say is, we will attempt to explain how much of an economic impact do these immigrants make on their home country, and find out if they're staying in the United States.
Again, thanks for tuning in. We hope you find the next few minutes entertaining and informative. We'd like to inform you that we are going to be using pseudonyms for those we interviewed in order to keep their identities private. People live better in the United States, no? It's logical. Because we earn money in dollars and send money back, so our family can live better at home. The situation in Mexico is not good.
That was Ernesto from Mexico. And he brings up a good point that is pertinent when discussing Latino immigrants, that being, why they came here.
Correct. As we found through our many interviews, the main reason behind immigration seems to be uniform. These are to come here to earn money, across the board, from country to country, all ages, legal and illegal. It appears the primary goal is financial stability.
This clip from Eduardo provides more evidence.
Well,
I came here for the benefit and future of my family. Because the economy in our country is poor. Really, it's bad. So we had to move. Yet I came here for the future and more opportunity for my family.
Clearly, as Eduardo says, the economy drove his decision to come. It appears it's all about money. But beyond money, we notice another, perhaps more trivial reason for coming to the U.S.
Remind me.
To learn English.
This is true.
As I recall, at the ESL program we went to, all the students said one of their primary reasons for coming to the U.S. was to learn English.
Well, Taro, of course it was. Need I remind you, we interviewed at an ESL program, English as a second language. In fact, that reminds me of Manuel. Let's go ahead and take a listen to what he has to say when he lets us know that this is also one of his reasons.
Just make some money, learn English.
Well, like Manuel said, learning English was the initial reason for me to come to the US too. I think knowing the language will definitely help you in many ways, from doing daily activities, going to school, or applying for a job in the US. Without it, you would face a lot more challenges. So let's hear what Jim, the program coordinator for ESL, had to say.
People who can speak English, and if you're pulled over by the police or you're working with law enforcement, if you can usually respond in English, you have a better chance, from what I hear, of getting out of a problem. If they're not as willing to ask you for documentations, if you can communicate well, your life just goes smoother. Obviously, even though English is not the national language of the United States, contrary to what people think, we are a language of English speakers. It's the de facto language. So definitely it's an advantage. I mean, there's all sorts of impediments to advancing in your job. Of course, legal status is going to affect you, especially now that they're really tightening the rules on that. But I think English will always give people... What it does help people with a lot of times, especially in construction, is Hispanics, or it could be, whatever immigrant group or whatever group, even if maybe they don't have the exact legal documentations, if they can speak English, they have a better chance of getting jobs. Even if they're, you know, if it's kind of behind the scenes, if they're doing subcontracting, things like that. If you can communicate with somebody, yes, your chances are definitely better to get a job.
I see.
But what if you don't speak functional English? Because many of them don't.
Well, as you might have noticed, we interviewed several people in Spanish, and those are the people you are referring to. We found out that they're struggling to find jobs.
But aren't all immigrants struggling to find jobs in this economic climate? In fact, isn't everyone struggling to find a job?
Sure, but the immigrants who came here with an education and some form of qualification seem to be doing better, since they have more stable jobs. But in contrast, people who came here without much qualifications are affected worse. They are day laborers, and there are times when they can't find any work. Now let's hear what this Mexican worker had to say about his living condition during this recession.
Do you have to wait every day for your job?
Pues la verdad sí hay días que no trabajo.
So, David just made it clear that in this economy it's hard to find a job. In fact, he basically said sometimes he goes days without even getting a job. We've looked at two key factors that affect the availability of jobs for immigrants: their command of the English language and their education level. However, there's still one glaring factor that is highly important to an immigrant's work condition, and that is their legal status.
Of course.
In fact, there were two Peruvian immigrants we interviewed who seemed to have significantly better jobs than others.
What about in the United States today? What do you do?
I work in a company about rentals for events. For example, rent table, chairs, glasses, plates.
As you just heard, Miguel has a good everyday job, indoors and not labor-intensive. This is likely due to his status, which is a legal immigrant. As a legal immigrant, firms and companies can hire you, whether to do a menial job or an upper-level job. However, the significant difference is the fact that as a legal immigrant, your job is likely to be steady.
Right, rather than looking for a job day to day.
We have run the gauntlet on the factors that affect immigrant work here in New Orleans, from English speaking to educational level, and finally to legality. Clearly, the issues are many, and I'm sure there is still more to look at. However, these are the most pertinent. We've covered the issues surrounding jobs, but why all the hard work? Are these immigrants spending the money on themselves here, buying nice cars and clothes, or as Jorge put it, drinking it away?
No, but what is striking here is that most immigrants we've interviewed send money home.
By this you mean remittances? Do you know that a significant part of the GDP of many Latin American countries comes from remittances? That goes to show the impact this money makes back home.
All right. Let's listen to what some of the immigrants who regularly send money home said.
Manda usted dinero.
Do you send money back home?
Honduras.
I have my wife, and I have to help her pay her house rent. So I send home like 1,500 pesos per month.
The families back home are fortunate that they receive money on a regular basis. But for others, this recession has affected them that they haven't been able to send as they used to.
It really makes sense. I mean, think about it. If you're unable to sufficiently provide for your well-being here, how can you be expected to take care of a family at home? Many of these immigrants are younger, and when push comes to shove, in order to keep the flow going in the long run, they have to make sacrifices at this time. When I asked if he still sent money home, Manuel, a 20-something immigrant, replied.
For the last 5 months, I haven't been able to send money. I don't think the situation is good because there's no job.
This brings up a good point. As we saw, Manuel is a single immigrant finding it difficult here in the U.S. One of our older interviewees mentioned that familial status in the U.S. also affects immigrants' willingness to send money home, stay here in the U.S., or go back home, and etc.
Actually, that was Guillermo, who has all his family here, and he said that the life of the immigrants with family in the U.S. are better than the immigrants who are single. This is due to the benefits they can get in the United States, such as education and public services.
Are you sure he wasn't talking about the emotional aspect of it? Such as one is less burdened with the weight of family at home if they are married and have a family to focus on here in the US.
Okay, why not play the clip and let the audience decide?
I'm in the US for my family. My sons, my wife, everyone is here. For me to live with my family, that is a good thing. But for a single person who has no family here, or one of his own, those people, they live better in Mexico. Because Mexico has jobs for single people.
Well, there you have it. You can make the judgment call on that one. Now that we've gone over all sorts of issues affecting the immigrants, we have to ask the key question. Do they plan on staying in the United States?
Good point. Why don't we let them talk?
Would you like to stay in the United States permanently?
No.
I think it's better over there.
Well, it appears we got a resounding answer on that one. Everybody seems to be headed home after some time. However, as an immigrant myself, I have to say things don't always go according to plan. Some plan to go home, but then circumstances eventually make them have a permanent life in America.
Agreed. Life has a way of changing one's plans.
Before we go, we want to share with you the contact information of some of the organizations that help make this show possible.
There is an organization called Latino Forum of New Orleans. The Latino Forum is a coalition working together that promotes the rights of Latinos in the greater New Orleans area through service delivery, community education, and advocacy. People from different organizations come to the Latino Forum and discuss about what's going on in the Hispanic communities. They're genuinely concerned about the situations of the Latinos and try to meet their demands. You can access their webpage at http://hispanicforum.wordpress.com. I'm Taro Taguchi. Thank you for joining us. And that's the show for today.
And I am Copeland Wobble Walker. I hope you found this both entertaining and informative. Have a wonderful tomorrow.